The Bible says there, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning from verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." This is our main verse. This along with verse 6, "But with many of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now we see why. We see the several sins here that displease God. And first one begins from verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as they were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpent. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. They have no temptation taken you, but such as it is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." You may be seated. Last couple of weeks we've been speaking about how we can live our lives to the glory of God. And first of all, we said in order to live our lives to the glory of God, we need to seek God by faith. Second of all, we need to be sustained by faith. In other words, to continue diligently to seek after God by faith. Thirdly, tonight, we're going to see how we're going to be submitting to God by faith. To live to the glory of God, we need to be submitting to God by faith. The Bible says in our main passage of Scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that in whatsoever we do, we need to do it to the glory of God. Everything that we do, whether we eat or drink, we must do it to the glory of God. We also see Hebrews 11 verse 6, "For without faith," I want you to notice that key word there. Last week's it was diligent. This week's it was please. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." In other words, a person is to seek to please God by faith. And so, true faith submits to please God. And so, like we said with the others, how does this submission to God, or submission to God by faith, look like? Well, in first place, let's see 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6. "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." So in first place, we need to be content. Content. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. If we can move the slide to the next point. I know it's in your notes there. Numbers chapter 11. And beginning from verse 1, I want you to notice what they lusted after. This is very just challenging and amazing just to see what they lusted after and what displeased God because of that. Numbers 11 verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the utmost part of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and Moses prayed unto the Lord. The fire was quenched. And he called the name of that place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." I want you to see in verse 1, the complaining that they were complaining about displeased the Lord. And so, and we see also the complaining in which they complained angers the Lord. Go down now to verse 33. Notice what the Bible says, "And while the flesh was yet before them," this is where he rains down quail for them. And as they were feeding, as these were as scavengers, the Bible says, "While the flesh was yet between their teeth, it was chewed, the wrath of God," or the wrath of the Lord, "was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hataavah, because they buried the Lord, the people that lusted." That word means graves of lust or graves of longing. Now, think about it. It's amazing what they lusted over. I mean, what? Vegetables? Fruit? I want you to think about that for a moment. It's something that you and I can get at the tip of our fingers. Melons, garlic, onions. It's something that you and I right now is made accessible to. And they lusted after the things that you and I right now, without any hesitation, can go down to the corner store and grab any of these. And these are the things that they were lusting after. It's so easy for us, even in our day, to open the refrigerator and look in these things and see these things there and still say, "There's nothing to eat." And can you believe these people right now lived in our age? Forget it. If these people lived in the age with which we live in, and there's many things to lust after, and we sure live in a day where it's perilous, times are here, people are more lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But what were these people really lusting after? Food for taste? They were exciting what? Their little taste buds a little bit more than just this manna from heaven? I mean, honestly, when you look at this passage of Scripture, you cannot help but be convicted with God being displeased at them for the sake of them just wanting food for taste. And yet we complain about just other things, and surely displeases God. We grumble, complain, we murmur. Perhaps we think it's okay to do that, but it's not. It really displeases the Lord. It really comes to the point of our lives where we think that something so easy that we can get accessible becomes just really a burdensome to us. And not only that, but we want more than what we have. The truth of the matter is, it wasn't just about the melons and the garlic and the onions and all that. The truth of the matter is that no one ever satisfied with God's leadership anyway. No matter what God gave them, they were always dissatisfied. God gave them manna, God gave them quail, God gave them, but just was never happy. They just wanted more, and that's what displeases God. And if you and I are going to be glorifying God or bring glory to God, you and I must submit to please God. In order to do that, we must be content with what God has given us and not desire more. And so we see our faith that needs to submit to God must be a faith that pleases God to be content in our position. I want you to notice and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Would you do that? The Bible says there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning from verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Some of the children of Israel were discontent with their deliverance out of Egypt.
They were not satisfied with the working of God in their life. No matter what God was doing, it was never enough. They demanded more. They wanted more from God. They were never appreciative nor thankful. They were always murmuring, complaining, and dissatisfied. Now, let me say something to you tonight. Are you content with godliness in your life? Are you content with the fact that God's delivering you from the bondage of sin and bringing you into a relationship that is in Christ, that you have made right, been right with God, and that now you are godly? Are you content with what God has done and what He's done in your life and where He's delivered you from? Are you content with that? The opposite of contentment is covetousness. In other words, just wanting more than what God has already given us. And contentment defined is what God has given us right now, which is enough, and not desiring more than what God has given us. The Philippians chapter 4, Paul the Apostle says, not that I speak in respect of want, he says, for I learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. And he said, the way I did that, the way I learned to be content, no matter my circumstances, whether I was naked, hungry, full, whether I was lifted up, abased, I did all these things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Truth of the matter is, Paul the Apostle was content with his godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you content with who God is allowing you to become in Christ? And I know, there are some things that God wants to move out of our lives and bring some things in. Let me say, are you content with that? Are you content with the effectual working of the Holy Spirit of God, reorganizing your life in such a way where the things that you used to do, you do not do anymore, and you do not enjoy doing them anymore? You're happy with the deliverance of God. You're happy with the godliness which God has worked in your life. You're content with it. Are you content with His leading in your life? The truth of the matter is, you being godly, submitting to what is right according to God is one thing, but being content with it is another thing. So in other words, you can say, yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, Lord, I'll go here. Yes, Lord, I'll get rid of that. Yes, Lord, I'll go here, I'll go there. And you can be where God wants you to be, but you can be a grumble person. Not happy, murmuring, just want more. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Being content with what God is doing in your life and how He's leading you and guiding you is great gain. Are you content with where God has you right now? I want you to view your life. Are you really, truly content with where God has you right now? I mean, I'm not saying to the point of my life is I'm content. I've reached a level of Christianity that I'm happy with. I don't think any of us here will be happy to be where we are. We always want to excel, move forward. But what God's doing in your life and where He's leading you, where He's brought you from and where He has brought you now, are you happy with that? Are you happy with God's leading in your life? Are you content with that? Heard a story about a pilot that always looked down intently on a certain valley when the plane passed overhead. And one day, his co-pilot asked, what is so interesting about that particular spot that you lean over and you have a look? He goes, well, when I was a little boy, that was a spot where I used to fish and I used to look up and I'd wish I'd be flying that plane. He goes, now that I've grown old, I look down and I wish I was back fishing again. Are you content with what God's doing in your life and where you're working and with your family? Are you content? Or you're always wanting more from God? You're never satisfied. You're never happy. And you keep chopping and changing and you're up and down and in and out and you're just satisfied. Are you content with godliness in your life? I want to challenge you to be content with the position in Christ and what God is doing in your life. And second of all, be content with your possessions. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning from verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. He says in verse 8, having food and raiment, clothes, let us therewith what? Be what? Content. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. Turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 12. Jesus tells a parable about a dissatisfied man. man that was just had it all, had his riches, but yet had his possessions, but was dissatisfied. The Bible says that we need to be satisfied with what we have and the basic necessities of life and what God has given us and what God is doing in our lives, the position that we're in and also the possession that we have. Notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 12, beginning verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he what? Possesseth. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Notice the eyes and the mice. What shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up. But God said unto him, what? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. Man living for just possessions and gain and thinking that gain is godliness and getting a whole heap of stuff and things, the Bible says he's not rich toward God. He's not pleasing God. He's not going to bring glory to God out of this person's life. There's no way that he will do that. And this guy was just living it up. Eat, drink, and be merry. Take thy ease. He was a point of his retirement. I've got plenty of food. I've got plenty of riches and possessions. What am I going to do with these? I asked the richest man in the world. You know what they said to him? One of the richest men in the world. They said, when's it enough? You know what he said? Just a little bit more. It's never enough. No matter how much you have, no matter how much you possess, it's a snare. And it grips the heart of a person and they always want to get a little bit more. But God says you need to be content with what you have already. You need to be content with your position, but you also need to be content with your possession. There's an old parable told about a king who had fallen sick. The doctors could not cure his disease, but one of the doctors said to him that the only way that you can get better is if you go and get a certain shirt from a man that lives with contentment. So the king jumped up out of his chair and sent the command and told his servants to go throughout the land to seek for a man that is content. So one by one they went out searching for the man, and finally a servant returned and he said, I found a man. And the king said, where's his shirt? He said, well, the man that I've found is very poor, replied the servant, and he has no shirt. And there came his answer. And then he took off his shirt. Contentment. Wanting more. You know, it's usually the poor people that are always happy. Because the riches hasn't choked them up. You know, you go back to the third world countries and they eat the word of God. We're going to go to the Solomons. I'm looking forward to it. I tell you, I've never had people knocking on my door, head chef with the crew, 10:30 at night saying, we believe that you're giving out Bibles. Can we have one? And in my pajamas at 10:30 at night sharing the gospel. First, I have to tell them, oh, look, we've got a big day. We've got to go. We'll speak to you tomorrow. And they're just sitting there like just smiling with their white teeth and they're just content. Content to hear the word. But over here, they're rich. And they've got their cars and they've got their houses and they've got their jobs and they've got this and they've got that and they want more and they want more and they're never happy and they're never satisfied. They just want more. And God says, if you want to please me, you need to be content with what you have. Don't seek after more. And sign of discontentment is someone that complains all the time. Always complaining. They've got everything under the sun and they're always complaining. Always complaining. And this king was looking for someone that was content. and they found a poor man with no shirt. Take heed and beware of covetousness, Jesus says. Someone just simply came to the point of their life and realized that money doesn't satisfy. Money cannot buy love. Money can't buy happiness. Possessions can't fill that void. Possessions and the abundance of things, the gain thereof, can never quench that thirst. The more you have is the more that you want. And that's why Paul the Apostle encourages people that have to give. To live a life of giving. To live a life of always be benevolence, of raining gifts, or meeting a need. Never reaching to that point where you're rich in possession. Because when you come to that point of your life, it'll be very hard to please God. It becomes a snare in your life. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that ye have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Be content with your position. Be content with your possession. And then thirdly, be content with prosperity. Notice what 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 9 says. But they that be rich will fall into what? Temptation and a snare. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. There's one thing that can move you away from displeasing God is when you desire possessions in your life and you're dissatisfied and you want more. And the love of money, the love of gain. But he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Notice what he says. Fight the good fight of faith. We're not only fighting against bad doctrine and false prophets in our day. We're not only fighting against immorality of our day, but one of the things that we are fighting against is wanting to get gain. Set ourselves up to the point where we leave the things of God to attend to the physical things. And God says, no. The way that you want to please me, submit to please me, is to be content with what you have and serve me with what you have, and I'll take care of your needs. Don't desire to be rich. Don't desire to go and get that or get this. Don't be under the bondage or under that yoke. Fight the good fight of faith. He says, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. I cannot just stop thinking. It's just a challenge to me to always think, what did I lust after? Food for taste? Let me help you tonight. If your wife doesn't make you another meal and that all you eat is just the dried up sandwiches, it's okay, okay? You can live with that. It's all right. Peanut butter, Vegemite. Just food for taste. It's amazing. Come on, honestly, who's done it? Who's looked in the fridge and said, there's all different, there's a cucumber in there, and there's an onion, there's some watermelon, there's some garlic. Said, there's nothing. There's nothing to eat. Because we're used to feasting, aren't we? We're used to having a fatted calf and fatted up bull and barbecues and this, that, whatever. But those things sometimes can be a snare. Notice what the Bible says about true prosperity. true prosperity, what to value most, the Bible says, better is a dry morsel, meaning a scrap or a crumb or a piece of bread, maybe leftovers. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Oh, you can have the best of foods. You can out-deck the table, and I'm not telling you today and feel guilty about doing that. If you have visitors, I'm not saying to put scraps on the table. But the Bible says you're better off with scraps than to have a fight over the table. Or, you know, have strife going on in the house. You know, or maybe when you're preparing with your family for the sake of visitors or different things, you have a little quarrel with the family. Look, if that's going to take place, you might as well not have anything. Amen? And the Bible says it's better just to have little where there's some rest and quietness, security and peace and love. A house full of sacrifices with plenty of good food, every kind of animal, the lamb, beef and chicken, but with strife, the Bible says no good. Notice another proverb that complements that proverb. Proverb 15, verse 16. The Bible says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and then trouble therewith. Verse 17. Better is a dinner of what? What is it? Let's say it together. Herbs. Where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Have you ever had dinner of herbs? Well, the Bible says a dinner of herbs is with love is better than a stalled ox. That's a fatted up, beefed up bull. And there's hatred there. There's trouble and there's no rest and there's anguish and despair. Money, prosperity, living the high life, having the best of things. Look, listen, it's not true prosperity. What God is saying true prosperity is where love is. What God is saying true prosperity is where security, rest, and quietness in that house. Man, you can live in a mansion and not be happy. But you can live in a tent and be the richest man in the world because you've got God, pleasing God, submitting to God. And God is leading you. God is in the head of that house. You can live in a mansion, but you can be miserable. It's amazing. Go to Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. I want to show you something using Joseph's life, his life there. I just want to point out true prosperity and get rid of this prosperity gospel out of the way a little. I know no one in this room believes in the prosperity gospel. That you need money and health and wealth to be rich. It's too bad for Job, too bad for Paul the Apostle, amen, if that was true. And what about Jesus? You know, did it ever occur to you why Jesus asked his disciples to go fetch a donkey and not a chariot? Did it ever occur to you that he wasn't born in the great palace but rather in a stable? Because true prosperity is not in the palace. True prosperity is not having the finest luxury car. That's not true prosperity. What is true prosperity? Let's have a look. Notice in Genesis chapter 39. But I want you to just remember something. We're looking at Joseph here. Joseph was a man that was sold into slavery by his brothers. His brothers envied him. Yeah, his father was looking after him. He gave him a coat of many colors and he had the love of the father, and surely he loved his father and the father loved him. And there came to a point of his life where he had everything. He had his family, but then he had nothing. His brothers sold him into slavery. He lost his father. He lost Benjamin, his brother. And then later on, he was deceived by a woman that was false accusations against him. And then he went to prison on top of those things. Notice what the Bible says about him. Notice verse 2 of Genesis chapter 39. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a what? Prosperous man. They say Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. Can you just imagine when Moses was coming to this point? Lord, prosperous man, Joseph, are you sure you want me to put this in the Bible? Can't you see what just happened to him? Yeah, because the Lord was with him. That's why he was prosperous. I'm saying to you here tonight, you can have everything. You can have the car that you want. You can have the house that you want. You can have the job that you want. You can have it all. But if you don't have the Lord the center of your life and you're not living a life pleasing to him and you're content with what he's just given you right now, you're a poor person. But yet you can just have a little and be content with that little, submitting to God in all things. And the Lord is with you, directing you. You're content with your position. You're content with your possession. You're content with having the Lord in the center of your home. And you're a rich man. You're a rich lady. You're a rich young man. You're a rich young lady. True prosperity is to have God directing your steps. True prosperity is when God is in the center of decisions. True prosperity is when you're content with what God has given you. You want to please God? You want to bring glory to God? Be content with what God has given you, where God has you, and what God wants to do with you. Can I say this and add it in? Not part of the message. Be content with how God's made you. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Short, tall, doesn't matter. Hair, no hair. Hey, God made you unique. Be content with what God's given you. And try to look at other people and say, I want that, I want this. By the way, covetousness is another form of discontentment. And comparing is another form of discontentment. Be content with what God has given you in your position in him, in the way he's made you, in your possession, what you have. And also in the prosperity of true prosperity. The Lord being with you. That's true prosperity. Psalm 34 verse 8, the Bible says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good things. Seek God by faith, being sustained by faith, to continue to seek God by faith, but also submit by faith and to continue to please God. In other words, be content with what God has given you. Don't be lusting after, longing for. They made graves for him. They even named those grave land in that desert. These are the ones that wanted more than what God gave them. Wow, you don't want to die like that. You don't want to die a person that's always mooching off God and never satisfied for who you are, and what God's given you, and where he wants to take you. I want you to notice one thing. Before we move to the next point, by the way, we'll actually move to the next point next week, because I won't do justice with about 10 minutes. So in closing, in Psalm 106, if you turn there, Psalm 106. Beginning from verse 10, I won't read the whole chapter. Let's back it up, verse 9 actually. And he rebuked the Red Sea, and also and it was dried up. And so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, and there was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praises. They soon what? Forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Verse 14. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. You can be in this room right now and you can sing the praises to God. But as you're singing, you can forget what God has done for you. You can forget the works of the mighty hand of God, how he's delivered you out of bondage,
and how he has actually stepped on the head of the enemy. And the way to bring discontentment in your life is to forget God's goodness in your life. And you know what happens when you complain and forget God's goodness in your life? You displease God. He gets angry. We're talking about a righteous anger. Why? Because it's the opposite of faith. If you're not pleasing God, you're displeasing God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. That means you're not trusting God. You're not trusting in His integrity. You're not trusting in His character. You're not trusting in His love, that He cares for you and wants to provide for you. He calls a father to a son, humanly speaking, that if you don't provide for your children, you're worse than an infidel. How about Him? He's our great provider. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. But you must be content with what He's given you, and it might be just a little bit, but it's enough. Because what God wants for you is Him. I don't want you to miss the picture tonight. God wants you to be satisfied with Him, not with what He can give you, not with what you can get out of Him. God wants you to be content with Him and who He is. And yes, He's going to supply your need, and it may just come at a certain time, but He'll do it. You can either please God or displease God. But the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. In order for us to please God, we must submit to God by faith. And the submit to God, the submission to please God, is to have godly contentment. To be content. Godly contentment is great gain. Can we say that together in closing? Godly contentment is great gain. Let's pray.